Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
I love to see weak make strong. Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me. Here it is, Tuesday. We are tuning in here today to WGOD. You know, God is always broadcasting. All we need to do is tune into his frequency, and that's what we're doing now. God's got a word for you here today. He always has a word for you 24/7 when you go to where he's speaking, and that is through his word. That's where he speaks to us today, through his word, when you read it, and those who proclaim it, preachers. Now, we're in the middle of this series on Moses, the man of God. And we've got this sermon you're about to hear today and tomorrow and next week's Moses walks to his own funeral, and that's going to do it. And then we will be in Philippians here coming up in the coming weeks. So, but God's doing a great work here at Island, and I invite you to come by here to the church. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. We meet Wednesdays at 6 p.m. for Bible study. Roll out the blackboard or the dry erase board, and we have awesome studies in here in the Word of God. We're in Luke. We're going to go right to Acts here coming up in about 2 weeks. So that's what's going on Wednesdays. Sundays, I really teach the New Testament verse by verse. But at times like this, we go back and do what we're doing now. We're in the Old Testament. We're looking at Moses. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive. We'd love to see you. I invite you. Our church family will warmly greet you and welcome you, and you'll be part of the family here when you come by and visit. So that's one of the greatest things about this church, other than the way God is moving like he is how awesome the church family is, and they'll make you feel at home when you come by and visit here. Okay, let's get into the word now. Matter of fact, I'll let this opening play on Wednesday. Wednesday, if it is Wednesday in the end of this, don't forget about our Bible study tonight. If you've tuned in at 5:30 Wednesday night, hey, you still got 25 minutes. It's a perfect time to point your car to 1000 North Banana River Drive and come by and worship with us here tonight as we're in Luke chapter 24. We'd love to see you. Okay, let's get into the word now. This is Moses and the 10 plagues of Egypt. And I was thinking, past, present, why not the future as well, for that matter, right? Let me read this verse to you real quick. Revelation chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Says this, speaking of the believers on the earth at the end times. She, born a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. What he's saying is at the end of the age, during the tribulation, God is going to protect his people for 3.5 years. Past, present, and future. Same God does the same thing. He protects his people during judgment. Okay, let's get into this list here. Number one, every one of these. Every one of these, I'll give you the scripture where it's at. It's on the handout, actually. Number one, waters turn to blood. So the Lord said, this is Exodus 7:14. And I've got a lot to read today. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews, that is, I am, remember? the great I am, the Lord, the being, has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord. By this you will know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they will be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river will stink. The Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. He lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the water that was in the river turned to blood. The fish that was in the river died. The river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. That's the same as one of the plagues in the book of Revelation. One of these two witnesses we read here turns all the water into blood. These are very similar to the plagues that are going to take place here at the end of the age. This Revelation 11:6. They have power over the waters to turn them to blood. All right, number two, second plague, frogs. I always said frogs were evil. They are evil. I hear stories of people with frogs looking in their windows. Each time they're in the Bible, they represent evil. Let me read. And I'm in chapter 8, verse 1. Following along here. You're in one place, but follow us along here. We're in the second book of the Bible. Chapter 8, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all of your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. Imagine that. Imagine ordering ribs and out comes barbecued frogs. Or else into your kneading bowls. That would be bullfrog rye. Everywhere you turn. The Lord's, verse 5, the Lord spoke to Moses, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up out of the land. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But this is not the last time we find frogs on the earth. Listen to this. Revelation 16:13. This is at the end of the age. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote. He said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of Satan, out of the mouth of the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. You guys follow me here? Out of the mouth of the dragon, that's the devil, out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, in the midst of all this, Pharaoh pleads with Moses to remove the frogs. Look at verse 15 here and look at Pharaoh's heart condition. Well, I guess this is after, well, not I guess. They did that on behalf of Pharaoh and removed the frogs. This is when Pharaoh saw that there was relief.
He hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. You see, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. There's no poor, innocent Pharaoh here, a victim, or as Curly would say, a victim of circumstance. He did this to himself. He hardened his own heart. And it's the same thing with you, when God will only tug at your heartstrings for only so long. God will only call your cell phone for so long. God will only call your cell phone for so long. Then he won't call anymore. Same thing with Pharaoh here. He's done calling at Pharaoh to turn and repent. Number three, gnats. I knew a gnat once, gnat burn bomb. This is gnats or lice. Verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod, strike the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, in Hebrew, this word really means gnats. Verse 18, now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. You see, your conscience is a gift from God. He uses that to get to you, to get your attention. And once it's become what the Apostle Paul calls seared with a hot iron, then you don't hear from God anymore. Then you're not convicted anymore. You wonder how that looks? Again, turn on your television or walk outside. And you can see 7 billion consciences seared with a hot iron. That's what it looks like when God doesn't call you and lead you to repentance anymore. This is the finger of God, they said. Now, assuming these were gnats or mosquitoes, let me read this commentary. Unlike the previous two plagues, this one came without warning. This was also true of the sixth and the ninth plagues. Aaron struck the dust with his staff, and flying, biting insects covered man or beast. The Hebrew word for gnat occurs only here in the Old Testament. It may mean gnats or perhaps mosquitoes. The statement, the dust will become gnats, may be a way of saying the gnats were unusually numerous. This plague may have been an attack against Set, god of the desert. Also, it may have been directed against the Egyptian priesthood. The priests prided themselves in their purity with their frequent washings and shavings and their wearing of linen robes. Here, the Lord polluted the religionists with insects, pesky insects. Number four, flies. That's chapter 8, verse 20. Flies. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, then behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall become full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, so that no flies will be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord. You see the reason for this now. It's for his glory, so that they may know that there's a God around here, the God of Israel. See that? in order that you may know that I am the Lord, is the reason why there was no flies there. Verse 23, I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. Verse 24, and the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, get out of here. I bet. He said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. This fourth plague begins the second cycle of three judgments. Like the first three plagues, these three were restricted to the Egyptians. This shows that God made a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians, marking his people for deliverance and marking others for judgment. That's what he does, right? That's what he's going to do again. Marking us for deliverance, marking others for judgment. Very prophetic. Just like it's going to be at the end of the age. God's going to mark. He's going to have his own people marked. The 144,000 Jews will be marked. And everyone else will have the mark of the beast. Marking his people for deliverance. All right, number five. The livestock disease. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and you still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on your horses, on your donkeys, on your camels, on your oxen, and on the sheep. A very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing will die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this on the next day, and all the livestock of Israel, of Egypt, died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Wow, even the cows escaped the coming judgment of God. How would CNN explain that? A pestilence comes and takes out all the unbelievers. And all the people of God over here, nothing happens to them. Interesting, huh? And yet a fact. And what he's done before, he will do it again. If you find yourself alive in this world here during the tribulation, rest assured that God is going to treat you the same way as he treated these Jews here. And he'll protect everyone, all the children of God that are around during that time. I don't know who it's the great mystery. No one knows. But this I know, and that is God's got your back. If you are here for it, God will have your back. Because that's what he does. He looks out for his own like any good father would. Got to move on. But again, we see the conscience seared with a hot iron here. It says, the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. See, he doesn't care anymore now. It's a progression to get to this place. Number one, you're indifferent to the things of God. Number two, you're full of personal pride, and you can't admit that this is your fault, that you made the mistake. And number three, you ignore your conscience pleading with you. That's how you get to this place. It's a progression. Number six, boils. Chapter 9, verse 8. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourself handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses, Picture this as I'm reading this. Take handfuls of ashes out of a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it'll become fine dust in all the land of Egypt. And it'll cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Again, that's another. These are like all bowl judgments in the end of the age. The bowl judgments are, the first bowl judgment is sore, grievous sores on everyone. The second one is the sea turns to blood. The waters turn to blood. Men scorched. Number five, darkness and pain. The Euphrates River dries up and a great earthquake. These are like the same as what's happened before is going to happen again. Okay, verse 11. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, because the boils were on the magicians and all of the Egyptians. All right, so like the third and ninth plagues, this one was not announced to Pharaoh. This plague, the first to endanger human life, resulted in festering boils on the bodies of men and animals. Moses' tossing of soot from a furnace may have been a symbolic act, like his and Aaron's use of the staff in several plagues. The Egyptians, fearfully aware of epidemics, they worshipped Sekhmet, a lion-headed goddess that had alleged power over disease. Sunu, the pestilence god, and Isis, the goddess of healing. Yet these deities could not deliver the people or the animal from their torments. The magicians of Egypt were helpless because they were similarly afflicted, and they found that their own deities were powerless to help them, naturally. And now this time, God himself hardens Pharaoh's heart. Verse 12, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Now, when this happens to you, and God himself does the hardening, that's all she wrote. It's all over. Once God hardens your heart and flicks the switch, so to speak, it's all over. And yet, the Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish, but all would come to repentance. He doesn't want to do this. But if you continually say no to God, this is what happens. There comes a time when enough is enough. Number seven, hail.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I see the joy of the
dancers and all the healing. The Bard's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
The devil is the sinister minister of fear. It's hard to serve the Lord with the icy fingers of fear on you. Are you afraid of what the devil may do to you if you take a stand for God? Friend, don't be afraid. Over 365 times, one time for every day in the year, God has said in the Bible, fear thou not, be not afraid, be not dismayed. I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Fear is an insult to God who said, I will be with thee. Fear will destroy your life. Fear will disturb your friends. Fear is infectious, and fear will delight your foes. Are you a worrywart? One lady said, don't tell me it does no good to worry. Most of the things I worry about never come to pass. My, how the devil wants to make us worry and to fill us with dismay. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. What has God called you to do? If God has called you to do it, don't let the devil intimidate you.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
With good news for today from Baptist Press, I'm Brandon Porter. In an increasing secular and post-Christian culture, leaders who make their living in apologetics, the defense of the Christian